This is 10 Seconds to Happy, where a little knowledge can make a really big difference, and so can a few seconds. Hi there, everybody. This is Sherry Speroni here for part two of 10 Seconds to Happy. In my last article, I explained that we have got this old program, and it's running our amygdala, which is sending our constant stress signal, an SOS, so that we then overreact and stress out. Now, if you haven't listened to Article 1, please go back and listen to that other recording. That will help you understand what we're going to be talking about today. In today's session, I want to begin to explain what is chemically going on with us and how we must learn to cut the chemical signal off at the pass that is causing us to overreact. Now, to do this, first, let me explain one thing. When is it truly almost impossible for you to feel angry? Think about it for a minute. Is there even such a time? How about after sex? Or after seeing a good movie? Or when someone says, I love you? I want you to think about this for a minute. The real answer is when you are feeling a ton of gratitude. Now, I am not being philosophical here. There is a scientific chemical reason. You can imagine it like trying to start a fire with wet logs. When you are filled with overwhelming appreciation and gratitude, your brain is flooded with three very powerful neurotransmitters called dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. I like to refer to them as DOS, D-O-S. Now, you may have heard of these before. I'm sure most of you have heard of dopamine and serotonin. You may not be as familiar with oxytocin, but hang on, in a minute you will be. Dopamine, when released in the reward center, can cause a person to chase hits of cocaine until their heart stops, or risk their life to hold on to love, or even die of a broken heart when that love is removed. Now, have you ever ridden a roller coaster? That's dopamine. Do you remember when you were young and you felt that buzz of realizing, you know, that you had a crush on someone? That's dopamine. And how many out there can actually remember your first kiss? Ta-da! That's dopamine. Now, then there is serotonin. Serotonin is the neurochemical that makes us feel content, calm, and even superior at times. Do you recall the feeling you had while looking at a sunset? Think back to it for just a moment. For most people, it feels like your life is perfect and you couldn't want for anything else. Can you recall the feeling you had of contentment after eating a really good meal? That's serotonin. Anytime you feel calm, relaxed, safe, and secure, that is serotonin doing its job. Then there is oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is for bonding us to another person, sometimes our pet too. It is released after sex, during cuddling, nursing, or having a nurturing moment with your child. Oxytocin is best at calming down chronic anxiety. Did you ever get a massage and feel like you got drugged? That's oxytocin. How about spending the night in someone's arms that you really love and you heard yourself utter, I could just stay here forever? Hell, I know I've said it. In fact, I think John and Yoko actually tried that for a while. Now, this is the neurochemical that makes you feel so connected after sex that you want to stay with that person. And this is a very good reason that young people should not be having sex. Because that chemical can cause you to feel connected to someone you only wanted a one-night stand with. And that goes for all of us. But young people are really at a disadvantage for being able to discern this. Now, these chemicals are not released exclusively of one another, and their effects are varied depending on what part of your brain or your body they are released in. It is why falling in love due to dopamine release will not feel quite the same as the dopamine release you get when your team wins. That's right. Stadiums and amusement parks are dopamine havens. Now, when you realize what is going on in your brain, you can increase the presence of these three neurotransmitters. You do this by paying more focused attention to every good experience you are already having in your life that you are now programmed actually to overlook. This is not positive self-talk. With this technique, you will instantly start having new emotional experiences that are going to release dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin. Your brain's excessive focus is no longer going to be on the lion in the bushes or the bill in the mail or the dirty look from your boss. You need to build a reserve of these good feelings. By doing this, you're going to have two things happen. You're going to fill your synapses with DOS, my nickname, that will quiet your overreactive amygdala. This will allow you to let many problems start to roll off your back. And two, it's going to increase your overall feelings of happiness and well-being. In essence, you're keeping your brain soaked in these neurochemicals so that the fires of panic can't start. Just keep that metaphor in your head of logs that are soaking wet and you're trying to start a fire, okay? That's what you're doing here. Now, there are three areas that are obstacles that can get in our way whenever we try to grab a little happiness. And you need to understand them. They are physiological barriers, psychological obstacles, human habits, and your beliefs. Now, let's just tackle one for today. Psychology. Myth one. I would be happy if... Most people, maybe even you, believe that your environment and events are what control your mood. See, our culture teaches us you need a reason to be happy. Well, the myth that you can only be happy if you have a reason to be is a complete lie. We carry around this deep-seated belief that there is a time and a place to be happy, and that certainly does not exist in the midst of a problem or trial. It's like we stand over ourselves like an angry parent saying, wipe that smirk off your face. This isn't a joke. But see, we do have a choice. Have you ever seen a child pouting? And as the parents or adults around them try to get them to laugh, do you remember what happens? The child fights the urge to smile. Well, we are not too different from that child. When frustrated, we make a choice not to allow happiness or laughter into that moment. To us, it seems somehow opposed to fixing the issue at hand. Can you recall feeling upset or frustrated, and then suddenly, due to a song or a memory or a quick joke, you feel the urge to smile, but somehow feeling lighter in the moment does not seem appropriate in the midst of a problem. We tell ourselves, what right do I have to feel happy if my life isn't good? See, waiting until we have a reason is just a silly rule we follow, believing that that will keep us motivated to keep improving our lives. Let me ask you a question. How many here have said, I can be happy when? And then you fill in the blank. How about when I get a promotion? I'll be happy when I lose weight. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I'm single. I'll be happy when I have more money. See, we believe that by being serious and focused on our problems, we will somehow handle them better and make them disappear faster. Well, that's ridiculous. Nothing could be further from the truth. Everything goes better for us when we are positive and happy, not feeling like an overstressed victim. See, like the parent who stares at their kid kicking and screaming on the floor because they didn't get what they want, so does life observe us doing the same thing. You are going to have to battle against your ever so busy amygdala that is constantly telling you to be armed and be anxious and to panic so that you can fix your situation. This behavior is like racing down the highway, speeding. And when I ask you why, you say, I'm afraid of cops and I don't want them to see me. That fearful behavior is what creates the stress you fear so much. These tantrums are so full of empty promises that if we could examine them objectively, we would never do them again. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy to overcome thousands of years of evolutionary programming that is meant to keep us alive. But it is absolutely possible, and it will only take you a few weeks. But step one is agreeing with me right now that you see how harmful and fruitless your overreacting is. Is everybody out there in agreement? All right, good. We are the only ones standing in our way of being happy, and I'll even prove it to you right now. Have you ever had a bad day, and then you go to sleep, and you have a really happy dream? Do you remember that ever happening? You wake up with this feeling that something wonderful happened. How is your brain perfectly capable of making you feel blissful while you're sleeping after having a real crappy day? It's because you couldn't argue with it. Now you need to learn to do this when you are awake. The truth is, your brain does not need a reason to be happy, just your mind's permission to do so. Every day, there are good things happening to you, like a smile, a compliment, a hug, and they all have the power to release waves of comforting dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. Think with me right now. How many good things are even around you in this moment? You have clothes, you have shoes, right? You have maybe a car, you're on your way to work, you're having a cup of coffee, you're having something to eat. These are all amazing things to feel great about. But our brain says, no, now is not the time. And we go on punishing ourselves, believing that being stressed is going to give us this advantage. And it doesn't. How many times have you said to yourself, if only I could win the lottery, it would solve most of my problems, right? Some of you even believe it'll solve all of your problems. We get to pay off the house or buy one. Get that nice car, or the most popular one, you get to go to work and tell your boss to shove it. What things do you think the lottery would do for you? I'm sure you have your own list. Many of us believe that money would solve most of our problems. Well, guess what? There was a study done to find out what actually happens to people after they win. And what they found out was that those who won the lottery 6 months later described themselves actually being less happy than before they won. Then they compared people who were in an accident and were left paralyzed. And it was found that they reported actually feeling as happy, if not happier, than the day before their accident. How in the hell is that possible? Well, for one, your amygdala, your warning bell, is still going to look for problems, regardless of how much money you have. Let me ask you, how many rich people do you know right now that are truly happy? Every day they're smiling. We assume that the more stuff they own, the happier they'll be. They got the great car. Of course they got to be happy. You don't know what's going on in their head. We make a lot of assumptions here because we feel we would be happy if we were in that nice car. But the truth is they don't exude happiness. We all know that they've got just as much stress because a lottery winner's brain is still obsessed over every problem, real or feared. Did I put enough money here? Did I invest enough there? Did I give enough away? Do people think I'm being stingy? They feel guilty because they won. It doesn't end. Your amygdala is not going to change. But the paraplegic, on the other hand, found appreciation and gratitude, that magic combination, in the small successes of the most mundane tasks that you and I take. take for granted. From putting on their shoes, to holding a fork, to feeding themselves. Now, I got to see this firsthand at a physical therapy center for disabled kids. For over 10 years, I have observed 99% of those kids from ages 6 to 15 being the most happy, joyful children I have ever seen. They radiate happiness and excitement because every day they applaud themselves for accomplishing simple tasks. When was the last time you did that? They relish each success. See, we think that that's trivial. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. That's because your amygdala has programmed you to think it's irrelevant because it won't make you survive any longer. That's a complete lie in the 21st century. Our happiness is the key to what will give us a long life, a long and healthy life. But this old programming that tells us, oh, nice car, ignore it. Oh, you have clean socks? Not important. Oh, you have a toothbrush and toothpaste. Who cares? Oh, your hair looks good today. Doesn't matter. That's the lie. That's what's wrong. And that's what I'm going to help you begin to reverse. These disabled kids discovered the secret, what neuroscience has now discovered, that brief momentary releases of dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. These are your neuro heroes of happiness. You get brief releases of these throughout your day, and you are going to stifle your usual overreaction so that life setbacks seem so much less threatening. You will be amazed when you drop something on the floor and you don't feel like you have to swear about it. Or when you can't find your keys, you don't start screaming and hollering. You just go on a pursuit to find them. You'll feel humane again. We have always had the best pharmacy, but now we're going to learn how to write our own scripts.